Sure, Rabbi Yisrael. I mentioned always in this pulpit that there are two events in the year which mark the passage of time for me. When I give the share pre-Pesach, the achonas for Pesach, and when I speak in the night of Slichas, each one marks another half a year has passed. And I ask myself sometime, and I guess there must be others that have the same question. It wasn't so long ago I was 20 years old. Where did all the time go? Where have all the years gone? But indeed, in everything in life, we can have two takes. We can have a negative and sad view. Time is passing, not to return. We can have a positive take. The Mefarshim tell us in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that part of the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has done for us, is that he informed us of when the Yom HaDin is. The non-Jewish world is also judged on Rosh Hashanah. But they go about their business unaware. The chesed that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam informed us that our din takes place, everyone's din takes place on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore we should take note of the passage of time. Take note that there's something that we need to do. Passage of time tells us that we have things that we have to do. Things I haven't done yet in life. And I shouldn't sleep, because time is moving. Not to be despondent, not to be depressed, but to the contrary, to motivate ourselves. Sit in the waiting room in the airport. You're about to go to Eretz Yisrael. On the phone, drinking a coffee, and they say it's time for boarding. Keep drinking your coffee, keep schmoozing. The second call, the third call, the fourth call, still don't move. Finally you're here, last call for boarding. You don't get depressed. We realize I intend to go with this flight, and now I have to put myself in gear. The awareness that the Yom HaDin comes should motivate us positively. Something that I haven't accomplished in life until now, I should undertake to accomplish. But we have to have the right attitudes to accomplish. David HaMelech in Tilum, Kapitel Nun Beis, talks about Doiga Adoimi. And he writes a haftor called Divrei Vola, the Shoin Mirma. You've loved all types of improper things, deceitful speech. The Sforo tells us in his commentary, a hafto kol divrei vola, kol divrei hashchosa, all manner of things are perverse. Lahayras b'toyra shaloka aloha, to render improper decisions of what the Torah tells us to do. And he tells us why, the Shein Mirmo, Shein Toroscho, Elamin Asofo, Elachutz. Your commitment to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and Torah is superficial. It's external, it's not part of yourself. Relochein, and what's the consequence of this? At the Mashchis Kavanoso B'Rosh Shel Doifi. You distort the Torah for what to, with interpretations that are unfounded. Person sat, he learned Torah, he knows Torah, but it's all superficial. Instead of finding the moral and spiritual light of Torah, he degrades the Torah to represent his own will. And he does things which are willful, which are perverse, in the name of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. And interestingly, I found in today's parasha that the Sforno tells us, where does this come from? Why is it that at times the Dvar Hashem to us is menasof ol chutz? It's not properly internalized. And at the very end of today's parasha, he tells us, "V'le'inosan Hashem lochem leiv lodas yisua masay sakdoilas esharo v'enecho." The Dor HaMidbar, you've witnessed phenomenal miracles that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has done. But you don't have Leiv Lodas when I am Nirois, was Naim Nishmoy Ara Yom Hazeh. And then, Ra'oilech Eschem Aboim Shona B'Midbar, I led you 40 years in the Midbar, through all the Nisim. Lechem Lo Yachaltim, Yait Mon, still didn't connect. And then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam continues, V'atovoi Yol Amokom Hazeh, you have come to this time and this place. And apparently, this final statement that you've engaged Og and Sichon and war and subjugated them should bring you to a resolution of the problem of Lo'inosan Hashem Lechem Leiv Lodas. So the Sforno tells us, Lo'inosan Hashem Lechem Leiv Lodas. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave us the Torah and all the miracles attendant to us in the Midbar. He give us a heart which truly understands the Rebbeinu Shalom. As we say in the beginning of Parshas Boilim, "Ante saper bosnei vincha uven vincha vidatem ki ani Hashem." You should realize, know within yourself, fully imbued within your heart, who the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is and your relationship with him. However, you didn't achieve this end in all the 40 years in the Midbar. For what reason? Because you were rebellious. You refused to subjugate yourself before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And therefore, you could not absorb and integrate all of those lessons that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave, which would have caused you to feel the presence of the Shekhinah within yourself, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam would be part and parcel of your life. But you were not ready to subjugate yourself before. But you still have another opportunity, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam writes, "V'oilech Yisrael, I brought you Arboim Shona until I brought you until today, V'aviyacham Atoler Tzichon V'oik." And you've conquered the lands of Sichon and Og. You've began the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. And in these places, Sheyesh Lechem Achuzas Oretz, you finally have Nachla. You've acquired your estate in Eretz Yisrael. Shetuchlu L'Kayim Bo HaMachuvim, where you can serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Is Roy Lechem contemplate the gift that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has given you now? Shem Rebikan V'Holo Titnu Leiv Lodas. That now you should undertake to subjugate yourself before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and you'll have Leiv Lodas, you will know the Rebbeinu Shel Olam intimately. If we contemplate the chesed of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that which the Rebbeinu Shel Olam does for us, every breath of life, so precious, a gift of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself, everything that we have in life, every faculty, every relationship, every circumstance, divinely gifted to us. If we understand that, then we can have the Leiv Lodas, that the Rebbeinu Shalom's Torah becomes, is not menasof olachutz, it's not something external, it's something internal. I saw a phenomenal thing about Rav Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that despite the fact that in his latter years he was confined to a wheelchair, but he had Simchas Achayim. And someone asked him, "How can you be so happy with the way under the circumstances in which you live?" And Rav Schwab the Ish Emes replied, "I want to ask you a question. Somebody gave you $100 million to use for 50 years. And after 50 years he came and said, 'Listen, I want $1,000 back.' Are you going to be sad or happy? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave me such bracha throughout my life. And I continue to have such bracha. In some small way, the Rabbeinu Shalom has limited me. But how much has he left with me? How could I not be Sameach and serve the Rabbeinu Shalom mitoch simcha? There are ways, so many ways, to connect with the Rabbeinu Shalom in our connections with other people. We don't humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shalom. If we had a certain sense of humility, which would motivate our Benodim L'Chaveiro to please others around us, we would integrate that notion that we don't have to prevail in this world. That which I want doesn't necessarily have to be. Someone else could be in charge. If it's possible in my personal life, that it becomes possible in my life with the Rabbeinu Shalom too. The Sifrei Kabbalah writes, we asked the Rabbeinu Shalom in the Tfilis, on Yom Haron, that the Rabbeinu Shalom should provide kapora for those chatoim, which normally come with yisurim, with some measure of suffering and anguish. The Rabbeinu Shalom should release us from those chatoim, but without any suffering and any anguish. The question is, if the din obligates, in fact mandates, that has to be so, then what are we asking the Rabbeinu Shalom? And the Arizal writes that there are different types of ways that we suffer in this world. We suffer physically at times, but not well. We suffer that parnosa is not the way we want it. And these are difficult afflictions. There are easier afflictions. There are no lesser afflictions. But it depends upon our attitude. If we accept the slights and insults that life brings with it daily, and we accept them b'simchas coming from the Rabbeinu Shalom, we have all the yisurim that the Rabbeinu Shalom would ever want to impose upon us for anything. And I think the real yisoid is that because we accept the fact that it comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom, and therefore we humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shalom, we fulfilled anything that the Rabbeinu Shalom might have prompted us to do with some other method. Comes the humility that we accept as we humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And all the slings and arrows of life thrown at me from all sides by all manner of people, if I see past the people to the connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom, then I'm connected with the Rabbeinu Shalom and I'm freed from Yisroel. But it's a sensitivity, and a sensitivity also to make others happy and push my own needs, my own wants aside, my own circumstances aside. In times when a person is sad in life, is not well, is in an avelus, we lose a sense of others around us. It becomes difficult. We have to transcend ourselves to connect. You see, Rabbi Lezer Telza, the Miyasid of Telza Yeshiva, once said, a person is ill, he said, he's describing himself in his illness near the end of his life. He says, when you're ill, he says, you're like a young child. A young child sees only itself in the world, and I feel some days that I don't see anyone else. To push our own needs down and to allow ourselves to focus on others, that brings that sense of humility which will connect us with the Rabbeinu Shalom. I'll end, and I'm going to ask an unusual request that we say a Kapitel Tillim just before we begin the Slichas. Just before I came, I received, in fact, two calls of two people that are critically ill, just too critically ill this evening. And I want to be misfollowed, but Tziva for both of them. They're in critical condition, both of them. But I wish to end first with a person that transcended himself. Rabbi Yoshem Zatzal, I just heard this week, one of his grandchildren was in my house, a yidid of mine. And he was sitting shiva for one of his daughters. He outlived many of his children. It's one of the consequences of living till 100 years old. And he told his children that as he's about to begin shiva, he says, I have to prepare certain divrei Torah, because a number of Gdolei Yisrael are going to come to be Menachem Avo, and it's not right if I don't give them kavod. So what kovet could I give them? It's in Hilchos Aveilus. I'll be prepared to tell them certain things that they don't know, that chidushim of his. And that will be the kovet that he gives them. A person that's suffering, and he was a person that was by nature within himself, he was a quiet person. And yet, the sensitivity that others were coming, and they deserve to be honored, so to transcend himself, to go outside his own comfort zone, because someone else has needs. This, even in the hour of his evil, he was able to do and to achieve. And he became aware of the fact that some negative people had decided that he had something against Rav Avadya, which wasn't true. And he had sat Shiva one time, and when Rav Avadya came, he didn't say a word to him, which was not unusual for Rav Yosha. He was not a talkative person, but people made something of it. So he was extremely careful when Rav Avadya came the next time that he was sitting Shiva, that he told him a chiddush lahalocha, that he'd paskin in the midst of his evil in Hilchos Aveilus. For covet, to be makbid in the covet of another person. If we transcend ourselves, Rabbi say, and our own midas, and put other people's needs in their covet ahead of ours, then we opened up the road to connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And we can connect with the Rabbeinu Shalom. In Tairosai, that which we believe, that which we struggle to live by, becomes more internalized within ourselves. And to the extent that it becomes more internalized, our understanding of it is closer, in fact, to the emes, to that which the Rabbeinu Shalom wants of us. May the Rabbeinu Shalom grant that we feel humility before the Rabbeinu Shalom, and we gather on Motzei Shabbos, the Lekar HaYosha tells us, the Talmud of the Trumas HaDeshen, because it's his month Simcha. We've just had a chance to learn Torah on Shabbos. We've had a chance to have Einik Shabbos and to approach the Rabbeinu Shalom in the Tefillah of Slichas mitoch Simcha, because the Shechina comes tafka mitoch Simcha. We approach the Rabbeinu Shalom mitoch Simcha. We avail ourselves of the opportunity to draw close to the Rabbeinu Shalom at this time of year, to humble ourselves, to be humble before the Rabbeinu Shalom, and let the light of the Rabbeinu Shalom into our own souls, and thereby that the Torah should become Torah's emes within ourselves, that we should operate from a true and clear understanding of the will of the Rabbeinu Shalom in our lives. May the Rabbeinu Shalom grant all of us aksiva v'chsima toiva to all of Klal Yisrael, and we should be zoicha to see b'korov Yeshuos and Shal Yisrael aksiva v'chsima toiva. One mizmor, still not the same as the prayer of another.